Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you're listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking. And if it is the first, no, the fourth.
Are
no,
we in the second. First?
The second. I'm still learning the alphabet. I mean, my math, I should say. The second Monday of the month from 2 to 3. It must be Coach's Corner, Living the Dream Coaches, I should say, Lori and Joel Battaglia. Lori, Joel, how are you?
Wonderful.
We're doing great.
Absolutely.
It's been so long that I forgot which Monday it is.
Yes.
Usually I forget what year it is.
Yes.
See, this is like I just forgot the day.
Well, it's Christmas too, you know.
Yeah.
Is it really? I thought we were in January.
It's that season. Once again,
season to be jolly. Anyway, this is great. So this is very exciting because we had a pre-recording last month, so I haven't seen you guys in two months. That's a long time.
I know. It's like forever.
Yeah, I know. And you had a nice trip.
We did.
Yeah, we got to see family back on the East Coast. Yeah. And
rushed.
Little premature Thanksgiving, and then I brought a cold back because you got to bring something back with you, right?
Wow. So where do you bring a cold from? Was it from New Jersey, Philadelphia, New York?
It was actually from North Carolina.
It was from the airplane.
Yeah, it could have been from anywhere, really, when you think about it.
I never leave without airborne. No, ever hear
You're
of airborne?
Right. Yeah. Yes.
Does it work?
I think it does work.
It does?
Keep taking it.
I swear.
Yeah.
Because I started to get it, and I said, well, let's try it, and I did them, and I completely sidestepped it.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And maybe
I'm a believer.
I dropped the ball and didn't take it as often, and look what happened.
But so, you look great, though. You both do. You look relaxed, ready to go.
Thanks.
And, wow, do you have an amazing guest. I'm not kidding.
Yes.
I just met this young lady earlier today, and sometimes you could just tell with people the energy they give out, their smile. You know their conviction, their commitment. They know why they're here on Earth. That's a leg up on most people. I'm excited to do this show today. Lori, you want to introduce your guest?
I do. So we have with us Maya Nara, and she is the behavioral nutritionist. And Maya and I met through LinkedIn. Because I do these things called LinkedIn blind dates where, you know.
Blind dates?
Kind of.
You never got me a blind date.
I did.
Know.
I got a random email from Lori B, and there it was. It was love at first sight.
Yeah.
Wow, very
and
cool.
That's it. We dated, and here we are.
Did Joe know about this?
Yes,
Joe knows about it. Joe comes along.
Yeah, I do.
All right. No comment on that
exactly.
one.
Exactly.
Okay.
Wrong kind of show.
Yes.
Exactly.
We do have a dating show, though. Yeah. Anyway, no, actually, I pulled it.
Yeah. Okay.
It's off there.
Off the air now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Temporarily.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, so, all things in good time, right?
Absolutely. Maya, welcome to the show.
Thank you for inviting me and having me here. I'm really, truly honored.
Well, there's no doubt, and we're really honored because you have so much to give, I could tell. And I can't wait. And back to you, Lori.
Okay. Well, so Maya, tell us a little bit. I was intrigued when I met you and you talked about teaching people how to eat and not what to eat. Mm-hmm. And the thing that you always say that I grabbed onto when I talk about you, and I've talked about you often, is that it doesn't all have to be pizza and cake or carrots and celery.
Yes.
That there's some middle path to go and you have your own story to tell. So I thought we'd start out with a little bit of tell us your story and how you kind of came to this.
Oh, man. We only have an hour, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So thank you, Lori. And I believe a lot of us live in a world of pizza and cake or carrots and celery. It's what I call the yo-yo diet, the all-or-nothing mentality. And when I talk about teaching people how to eat instead of what to eat. They think the problem is that we all know what we should be eating, but we don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we do it? I don't need to sit in front of a client and tell you to eat an apple and whole grain bread. These are things that you know. So let's get down to the nitty gritty of why you're really not doing what you should be doing or what you know is best for your body. Because there's a lot more, and everybody in this room knows there's so much more to it than just food.
Yes.
But my story in a nutshell, 10 years ago, I don't know, sometimes we're getting old, I am. I was almost 250 pounds at one point in my life, and I lost it the wrong way. I was in the fashion industry for almost 10 years. I saw size 00 girls, and I had no concept, no understanding, no definition, no authentic definition, no divine definition of beauty or what that was. So I was always in search of it outside of myself. So the girls in the 00 jeans, I thought, you know, they understand what to eat. They look great. Let me do what they do. So as the girl who thought fat free Oreos were good for you and five calories each, so I could eat the whole box, that wasn't the case. But I lost almost 100 pounds in 6 months and wow. Got pretty sick doing it.
And what were you eating again?
Almost nothing.
Oh.
Almost nothing.
That's rough.
A diet of sugar. But it was, there was a small mental takeover because when I explained the pizza and cake or carrots and celery, I was in carrots and celery for so long. I was in this pattern of cycle of restriction and deprivation. Now, granted, I've gained a lot of the weight back, but I'm surely not 250. The difference being is a mindset is what I have learned to cultivate. So I went back to school for registered dietitian, focused on the behavioral, learned the alternative nutrition outside of school because it was very Western as a registered dietitian, which is a good thing. I'm very grateful for that. And really found as I evolve and grow with myself and my business that my why, which I think is what we all need to have for change, any type of change in our life, we have to have a why. And my why, which I very recently discovered for everything that I do, is about beauty. And I didn't see it myself. I wasn't seeking the weight loss. I was seeking the beauty. So it was all about me finding the feeling and the essence of what it is that I really wanted to teach about and explain and show and bring out in other people. I had to find that myself.
Let me ask you, you mentioned beauty. How do you define that? Because I think I know what you're going to say, but for some of the listeners, they may want some clarification.
Yes, real beauty.
Yeah, exactly. Which means?
To me, as I've come to learn it at this point in my life, because we all know that tomorrow's a different day, is that we all talk about beauty on the inside, beauty on the inside, beauty on the inside. And I got really angry at that statement as I was learning. I was like, you know what? If it was on the inside, I would have found it by now. These people don't know what they're talking about. So what I've come to learn is that, honestly, it was there the whole time, but it was covered up in lots of junk. It was covered up in lots of fear and shame and depression and all this other junk that I had piled up on top of it. So I had to go digging. And I found it, and what I found beauty to be was my spirit, my essence, my authenticity, my real voice. It wasn't red lipstick. It wasn't long hair. It wasn't my makeup or my jeans. It was the stuff on the inside.
That's exactly what I thought she would say.
Word for word?
Yes, even yes. Better.
Yeah.
There were some words in there that I didn't even think was there.
Yeah.
Joe?
Yeah, well, I have a... Well, if if anybody's interested, they can go to my blog, and I wrote a piece called Beauty is Truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, that is the essence of what beauty is.
Mm-hmm.
Beauty is the truth, and the truth is, I won't say the naked you, but that puts a whole different spin on it, but it is you unvarnished.
Mm-hmm.
It is the true essence of who you are. That is beauty. Or whatever you're talking about.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's a tree or whatever it is, there's beauty in everything, one way or the other.
Yes.
But it's the unvarnished reality of whatever it is you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And in case of beauty in a person, it's that essence. It's that piece that is the true them.
I love when Joe talks about beauty because it's really what women crave out of a man when they hear, you
yes.
know, what is beauty. I love to hear that from
yes.
Joe.
It's the truth. I
yes.
mean, it's inescapable. I mean, you can put whatever you want on it. It's temporary.
Mm-hmm.
When you get it down to the raw essence of what it is, there it is. That's the
yes.
beauty in the piece.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Now the question I think people might want to know is how did you – how did you know how to find it? You know, there's
yeah.
different techniques in different methods. I mean, the one thing is neurolinguistic programming, which I'm very fond of. I mean, there's the spiritual realm, there's prayer, there's meditation. How did you have that insight and, I guess, discipline to cut through the layers to really find this? Because that's why there are layers sometimes. I mean, once you hit that fear or obstacles, sometimes it bounces you back to where you were. How did you do that? This is fascinating to me.
I love it. You know what? There was. It's hard to put into words because I think it's something that your heart can understand. But there was a point of no return. And I was in search of something. I knew there was something more. Just like a woman who knows inside that there's a smaller her. There's someone who's so much happier and who wants so much more. I had that same desire and I had that same urge. I knew that there was just something more. And it comes down to how bad you want it. Because I think it was, who was it? Out of the Wizard of Oz, the Good Witch said, "You had the power all along, my dear."
Yes.
And I always end a seminar with the fact that you had the power all along. But the question is not can you have it? You can always have it. The question becomes how bad do you want it?
That totally makes sense. I mean, how, and most people are somewhat apathetic, so maybe they're not going to dig as deep. But when you catch fire, it sounds like that's what happened.
Yeah.
That you, and you absolutely knew there was something else.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a dead end, like maybe I'll try this out of curiosity. It sounds like you tried it out of not desperation, but inspiration.
Yes.
By the awe of it.
That was beautiful. There's a difference between acting out of inspiration versus acting out of fear, I believe.
Yeah.
Because if you're desperate and you're seeking that out of fear, you will never find it. You will find other things that, because, I mean, we're always going to get what we want, but how fast is that going to happen? Is it acting out of fear or are we acting out of inspiration, which is actually our beauty or authenticity or our divine, whatever we want to talk about there. But the answers will come quicker that way. Mm-hmm. So you can fight it or you can go with the flow.
So how did this change you?
Oh, man.
I mean, it must have changed in profound ways every aspect of your life once you find that essence.
It does. I was in corporate for a very long time, and I got the boot out of corporate, which was one of those universal slaps that was, you know what, you have something bigger to do, so stop it and go do it.
Yeah.
And so my business now, my Intentful Life, is the mission is to help 1 million women move into a place of real beauty. And when we say that, it's really, truly what happens is that they find their truth, they find their light, they find their divinity, they find their purpose.
And how cool is that, that you – I like the way you talk about doing it as a way of being – going toward it because it's inspiring versus getting away from fear and things like that. Mm-hmm. We find a lot of times when we coach people that – no change happens until they're in such pain that the pain of staying where they are stuck is worse than what they don't know and they move forward.
Yes. Yeah. That question comes out, I think, sometimes with a lot of people of there has to be something more.
Yes.
And that little question starts to get louder.
It does.
Then it starts to get louder. And they start going in search of things like you talked about, the NLP or the coaching or the spirituality. Those are all good. Those are all amazing. Those are all tools that we need to help us get there. But when we move past them, we can see that old verbiage that I used to throw out the window all the time. But what we were really looking for the whole time, it was already there.
It was right
just
in front of us all along.
Yeah. Every time. That thing is right under your flipping nose.
That's it. Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Exactly.
It's true.
So if I said a statement, get out of your own way, what does that mean to you?
It means – you have the best questions, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
He's pretty good at this.
He is good at those.
Yes.
This is radio show.
Uh-huh.
When you say get out of your own way, that means to integrate the difference between fear and inspiration and act from inspiration and know that anything derived of fear does not really even exist.
Right. That totally makes sense because, as a business consultant, well, an NLP and as coaches – Laurie and Joe, I mean, you know people create their own obstacles.
Sure. Yes.
And that's getting in their way.
Oh,
so saying it a different way, and you clearly see it. And that's something nice that you probably help others with.
We do. And it's kind of funny when you're coaching someone, you're sitting off to the sidelines and you hear them saying things and you think, boy, that's so obvious to me. what's going on there. But when we're in our own story,
you don't see it.
You just can't see it sometimes. Or you're so afraid to admit what's going on, you're not even admitting it to yourself. And sometimes when you talked about, Maya, the little thing that goes on and says there has to be more than this, that to me was what brought me to finally the end of my first marriage. It was that there must be more than this. Can I see myself sitting here on the couch for the next... I intend to live to be 100, so I intend to be...
Me long, too.
Yeah, see?
No. So me too. How about you, John?
No.
No?
And you'll find out from my blog. Yeah. I'm going to... 300. At
300.
Least.
He's going for 300.
At least.
You want to do the dishes for that many years?
Yeah.
Sure.
That's what it takes.
That's what it takes. That's what it takes.
But it is that little, like, internal thing that says, there must be more than this. And I think sometimes, too, when people are pursuing their life purpose, it can... We think that sometimes life purpose has to be this monumental, huge thing, or maybe it's a... Maybe it's this business I'm supposed to run. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's something that is just in your everyday life that you're supposed to do, and it's you carry it out in different ways.
It can be as simple as changing the life of one person.
Yeah. Yes.
One person.
Or that's, 1 million.
Or
you know,
1 million.
It runs the gamut.
That's right.
Yes.
Or just your own life.
That's right.
And learning the lessons you came to learn.
Well, the spiritual masters always have said, whatever, it doesn't matter what you do, just do it well.
Yeah.
And I think that's important.
And do it with love.
Exactly. Yeah. And let me ask you this also. See, you fascinate me. This is just, it's such a pleasure to have someone so enlightened. I'm not kidding.
Yeah,
you don't find that very
often.
I realized that a while ago.
Very cool. And
yes.
When I say let go of the toys and find your passion, I mean, let's just throw that out. I know and we'll get to exactly what you do, but I think this is so critical at a deep level with higher consciousness. Let go of the toys and find your passion. And I get the sense that's exactly what happened to you.
Yeah, yeah. Your toys are, the first thing coming to my mind is like children. Your toys are something that distracts the mind a bit. And, you know, you suck your thumb and you put different things and you have something to do with your hands. Your mind is engaged in something. So the toys, although a good thing, they seem to be a distraction from your inspiration.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I see it, and the other way I see it is, which is probably the same thing, is that so many people have their identity into things that will dissipate.
Yes,
I mean the cars.
Yes.
It doesn't mean you can't have a car or a nice car. It just means when you put your identity as that thing, that thing can dissipate and be taken away. Mm-hmm. And if your identity is taken away, that can cause a lot of confusion. So letting go of the toys doesn't mean not having it. It just means letting go of your identity towards that, big house.
Right.
You know, I have a lot of clients that have a lot of money, and sometimes there's, you know, people that really identify with that as their security, and it never is.
You mean you're like your attachments?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a different, way to say it.
Okay, I get it. You're right. I agree.
So it's very similar to what you said.
Yeah. A lot of times maybe we put feelings, we put emotion into them, we put essence into them that distracts us or takes away from our larger picture.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow, this is very cool. How about you guys?
Yeah.
Same thing. They're so afraid to look at themselves. It's like, oh, look over here. Don't look over here. Don't look over at me. Look over here. Look over here. You know, they're trying to skew the attention away from who they really are to what they really have.
Right.
You know, it's
trappings. It's
trappings.
Things that keep you. I read an article one time about what your possessions cost you.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a lot of money for, you know, you have to have a house to keep your stuff in, and then you've got to have a garage to keep your car in.
Yeah.
And then you run out of room, and so you rent a rental unit to put it in, and it goes and it goes and it goes, and you never really get around to who you are at the core, which is kind of what your whole message is.
I agree.
Who are you inside?
Yeah, I think your possessions and your attachments are, as coaches, I think we know that as we teach people to look at your attachments and look beyond your attachments and your possessions for, or even things you desire. So what do I desire and what do I have now? How do these things make you feel? Because 9 times out of 10, how they make you feel is what you're wanting more of in your life.
Right.
Do you have a nice car because it makes you feel successful? Do you have a beautiful girlfriend because it makes you feel loved or beautiful or hot? Does it? So what are the essence? What is that feeling? That's really the core of what you are wanting in your life, but we're looking outside instead of within.
Mm-hmm. And I've always heard want means not having or some type of void in the dictionary.
Yeah.
So wanting is it's sort of an insatiable
derivative of lack.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Oh, nicely said.
Yes.
Give me some knuckles on that one. That was really good. And then one other question, and then we'll get it back some of the other subject matter. But, you know, we used to have a Match No Match, which is a dating show. No is spelled K-N-O-W.
Oh.
So it was a twist on that. Like, know your match. Most people don't.
That's cool.
And, you know, it's always curious to me, like relationships. There seems to be an addiction there.
Yeah.
You know, I know we're going off a little bit on a different topic, but once you know your essence, it's not about what you can take from a relationship. It's what you can give to a relationship.
Mm.
But I remember one time, probably a year after I got divorced, it's been a while. And I went to this, it was called Parents Without Partners. Ever hear of that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you try that?
Been there.
Yeah. Well, I didn't join, but I went there because they had this thing like it was a group and they had a discussion. I love having discussions. So I went there and there's a bunch of these people, men and women, sitting there. And the leader said, okay, now we're going to go from this book called Dating for Dummies 101. And I go, well, you know, for some reason I'm here, but I'm not sure.
Did you look for the door?
Yeah, I'm not liking this already. And they said, let's just go around saying, what do you want from a partner?
Mm.
And I raised my hand. No one knew me. I was a new kid on the block. I said, wouldn't a better question be, what can you give to a partner?
Ooh,
that's what they said. They were really not happy with that. And I said, what's wrong with that? And they go, you kidding me? We want what we want. And I go,
you gotta
I'm
go
in
start
the wrong
your own group.
Yeah.
It wasn't very pleasant.
Sometimes you know you haven't found your tribe, you know?
That, yeah,
so
I never went,
peeps.
Never went back.
Yeah.
Yeah, let my peeps go.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, that's from a great movie, The Ten Commandments.
Uh-huh.
Let my peeps go.
Let my peeps go.
Okay, why don't we take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion. This is Lori and Joel Battaglia, the stars of Coach's Corner, the second Monday of every month from 2 to 3, Living the Dream Coaches. And we have special in-studio guest Maya Nara, Intent for Life. That's your business, and we're going to talk more about that when we come back. We'll be right back.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762 or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And if it is the second Monday of the month from 2 to 3, it must be Coach's Corner, Living the Dream Coaches, starring Lori and Joel Battaglia. And Lori and Joel, there is no doubt how I open the show. It's even better. This young lady, Maya Noir, is even more unbelievable than I thought. You really
She's
are.
She's awesome.
I just got to compliment you because you. I just sense... just a realness about you that you are here to help. You discovered why you're here on the planet. Most people never even think about it. That's why I mentioned the toy thing, because most people think, oh, I need more toys.
Yeah.
That is not where it's happening.
I was there too.
Well, I think we've all been there until we haven't.
Yeah.
And then we go,
and
wait a minute.
Some never get away from it.
Some never.
Yeah. And they never know what. They go
straight to the grave figure, and they've won because they've got the most toys.
Yeah.
And it's so unfortunate.
It really is, because I'm sure they are not taking it with them where they're going.
That's Probably not.
All right. So back to Lori.
So one of the things that I wanted Maya to talk about a little bit is can you just sort of – we were talking about how people fill themselves up when they feel like there's some emptiness there. There's something missing. There's there's oftentimes not, in my personal opinion, a spiritual connection or a connection to self, or something's lacking there where it's all – you know, I need this to make me happy. I need that to make me happy. If I don't have these things, then I'm not happy. And sometimes people fill that up with food.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of along the line of your business. So when you work with clients, tell us about some of the people that you've helped and where you think people kind of go off track with the what gets them there to where they need to come to somebody.
Sure.
That helps them like you do.
Well, you know, and there's a lot of parts of that question, Laura, but yeah. I think that you're craving love on a foundational level. Everything is some manifestation of love itself, and that's really what it is. And I don't want to go all woo-woo and, oh, we need to love the world here, but that's the truth.
Yeah.
Is when it comes down to it, maybe we look for love outside of ourselves, but my clients typically come to a place of self-discovery, of personal responsibility is usually number one, that everything they've created up until this point is their doing. Everything in their lives is their doing. So we have to come to a place of personal responsibility, not necessarily getting rid of what they're trying to get rid of initially, but coming to a place of change of perception is what we're looking for. Mm-hmm. And then we work through a lot, really, because it's all about what is the wall that you have built up on top of the love. So we go through that wall. We go through ways to shift it, which we all in this room really do, and shift that diet mindset. And they come out on the other side with a new relationship with food. But really, that's what they're coming to me for. But they come out with a different life perspective because it's so much bigger than the food. But right now, we just have a magnifying glass view of food in itself, when really the eagle eye view is your entire life.
Mm-hmm. How does somebody break that pattern of using food to fill things that aren't there, of replacing it, using it as a replacement for love. How does somebody break that pattern?
Great question. It's consistency. Absolutely consistency. I mean, we can break it down into three steps that I always teach all the time. So it's about, and we'll run through this quickly. There's three parts to this. Is number one is intention.
Okay.
So number one, you have to know what you want. You have to know why it is that you want it. So what is it that do I want? What is just, you can be honest and open. I want to lose 50 pounds. I want to fit into these jeans. What is it that you truly want? The second part is what do I want and why do I want it? So if someone goes and wants weight loss and they want weight loss because they're going to go on vacation in 2 weeks, what's going to happen after 2 weeks?
Yeah.
They're going to gain that weight back. So, and go on their regular diet. So that's a falsified why versus an authentic why, which it is that we learn to cultivate. So that first intention piece is what do I want and why do I want it? And your why comes with an authentic why. The second piece is alignment. And this is what all of us in this room teach is alignment. Yeah. So the second piece comes, we look at all aspects of self, meaning do my thoughts, my habits, my actions, my patterns, are they in alignment with my goal? Are they in alignment with what it is that I want? So we take a look at this wall. We take a look at everything that you're physically doing, everything that you're mentally thinking, everything that you spiritually believe, do your thoughts and your patterns and your actions and your habits in alignment with what it is that you want? And we go through that. The last piece, so we have intention, alignment, and the last piece is consistency. So once we start to shift your thoughts and your patterns and your habits and your actions on a consistent daily basis, is that what you're practicing? We need to do that consistently on a daily basis. So whatever that is it journaling? Is it affirmations? Lots and lots of tools and people to help us along that way. So we do it. We do it every day until we see those little shifts and those huge miracles that we never thought could happen.
Hmm. You know, it's interesting, as coaches, Laurie and Joe, I'm sure this is a magic formula.
It is.
No matter what it is.
I was thinking that.
Yes.
Whether it's food
or
any
yes.
type of goal.
I'm like, ooh, wow. So I'm going to have to find out if she's got that trademarked. And
you know, it's anybody as a goal, a teacher, anybody as a coach, we do. We all teach this, but
sure.
We all teach it in our specific niches.
That's
because
right.
yes.
we all have, we all hold that essence. So interestingly enough, as coaches and teachers ourselves, we learn more about ourselves in every single client that we have.
Boy, that's truth. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have, can you share, without names, of course, a success story of somebody that you've helped and the shift that you've seen from the time that person walked in the door to the time that they kind of got done and said, okay, I got this thing, I'm good.
And you can't use yourself.
Oh, I have so many of them. And they just, God, it's one of those things that touches your heart so much. But yes, no names. We can think of her right now. And most clients, just like this woman, came to me. And I see clients all over the country. So it was she lives in North Carolina. And most of them come to me, or any coach, very just like, oh my gosh, something needs to change. I'm desperate. I hate myself, which puts daggers in my stomach, and all of these things. Like, God, I just don't know where to start. And they're so confused, and there's so much noise. There's so much noise about themselves and around their environment. And so she came in like that, and just not knowing anything. So most of the time, we teach basic nutrition, and I had to bring that in with her. Is her diet wasn't awful, but she came in with extra weight, extra inflammation. So on a very basic level, we do have to assess together, okay, what is your best diet? Your best diet isn't the one. There's a million diet books out there, but who's to say it's going to work for you or work for the person who wrote them? I'm just here to help you discover what makes you feel good, because that's your best diet, is what makes you feel good. So we discovered what makes her feel good. She took out, I remember, she actually turned out to be work well as a vegetarian, which may or may not be right for you. I don't know. She took out dairy, really came off sugar, which I find to be a big help for a lot of people.
And hard to do.
And hard
for
to
a
do.
Lot of people.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's a good addiction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
And so it's funny because we talk about all these layers, and her layers, some of her layers were not only, she was in a big state of depression because of her weight. She didn't want to go out in the world. When she did, she was very, very embarrassed. She was very fearful of what people would think. She made up a lot of stories in her head that weren't actually true, which I think a lot of people do. But what happened is we started to clear this noise via diet. We started to bring awareness, because I think when somebody comes in not knowing anything, we start with the physical diet. that helps their brain get wrapped around. And then we go into their emotions, and we go into a lot of that with her. And she came out on the other side. I mean, we were working for about a year, and 50-pound loss, like she had hoped. But there's also a sense of release, a sense of surrender, a sense of renewed sense of hope and patience and love. So she came out very clear instead of so noisy, I think is the best way to describe it.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen cases where, let's say, it's the woman that she wants to lose weight, but there's a fear or there's some resistance by the husband or the significant other because of some type of control mechanism?
Yes.
or something?
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that. Have you seen that?
Yes, I have a client right now.
How do you handle it? I mean, there's a couple issues there.
Wow.
I mean,
yes.
Because the fear of maybe a divorce or something,
yes.
the guy's got, you know, in this case, if it's the guy exerting mm-hmm. the control and not wanting the best for his wife, mm-hmm. how do you, I don't even know how you'd handle that mm-hmm. situation.
Yeah.
But I bet the listeners out there, at least at an unconscious level,
yes.
realize that could be an issue.
Yeah. Oh, it's bringing a client right now that I'm talking to right now, and she, it's not my direction to say, okay, here's what we're going to do. It's really up to the client. I just listen and then help redirect. So, gosh, I'm by no means am I the relationship expert. I'm sitting here with Lori and Joe, which are, but we do see that as a piece. We see that as some noise. So how can we clear up that noise? What is going to be the method of least resistance with the highest amount of love to move that?
Oh, good. Nicely said.
Mm-hmm.
What would you do?
Well, I think the number one thing is when you're in a situation like that is a recognition of who you are. You know, it's an awareness of who you are to start with. Once you have that, then this other stuff can fall by the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
The control aspects of it, will fall to the wayside.
So you're not going to,
or it's going to break up the relationship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have to have a strong sense of who you are, without the fear of being controlled.
Exactly.
Is what you're saying.
Empowerment. Wow. Empowerment is the word.
Yeah, that would be the word. Yeah.
And I think it's a tough time coming to it. Because when you're in that situation, and Maya, the way you described a person who comes in oftentimes is in that, I can't do anything about this, and people are talking about me, and it's really bad. It's a bad place. We'd call it the victim mode of,
yes.
I can't help myself. I've tried everything. It just doesn't work for me, and I'm incapable of pulling this off and all that. So they come in like that, and that kind of person frequently attracts in somebody controlling or equally victim-like.
Right.
Yeah,
and so it's just a whole really crazy dynamic that probably is a whole different.
I think
subset,
it comes down often to is this person in alignment with who I truly am?
Yeah,
but that requires that initial shift in finding themselves, like you mentioned, Joe.
Right.
So
it all starts there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that truly is what awareness is all about.
Mm-hmm. True,
it's finding out who you are first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't love anybody else until you love yourself.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah. And sometimes that ends well for a relationship, and sometimes it ends.
Right.
Sometimes it ends the relationship. Yeah. So,
well, if that other person cannot
adapt
and really come along with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they indeed have to find themselves as well.
Yes.
And then it will work.
It's a new relationship, really.
It's a completely different relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's so much to that. I mean, imagine being a person who is overweight, insecure about yourself, unhappy about. You find a man who thinks that you're beautiful just the way you are. You don't need to lose any weight. So it's that peace that you didn't really find. Yeah. But then you change and you discover yourself.
Yes.
And you start losing weight and you become empowered. Right. Does this same man match who you are now? And
yes.
It becomes sticky.
Yeah,
and to go along a parallel situation for all you listeners out there, the movie Hope Springs.
Oh yeah,
Hope Springs.
Oh yeah,
wow.
Meryl Streep and
is exactly
and
the
Tommy
same
Lee
thing.
Jones. Yeah,
because she finds herself, and then he has to find himself. Otherwise, the relationship
Stung.
Is
done.
Yeah. Yes.
So he luckily, and not luckily, because I'm sure it's engineered that way, but he finds himself also, and that's.
But boy, it's hard to watch
sometimes.
It's hard
sometimes to watch, yeah.
Because they really go through a lot in that movie.
They
and
do.
Haven't
yeah.
we, and haven't we all been right there?
Yes.
But don't you love happily ever afters?
I do. I'm a sucker for happily ever afters. You know, Joe sometimes goes through this boy gets girl, boy loses girl, boy. Wait.
That's right.
Boy meets girl, boy gets girl, boy loses girl, boy gets girl back. And I said, why is that a bad thing? I love it when the boy gets the girl back.
But, it's such a predictable,
pattern.
Pattern,
yeah,
that you see in a lot of movies.
I got nothing wrong with that.
But that for another topic, I don't know if we have time today, but that would be interesting to explore how media, movies, those type of thing, impact the dysfunction of relationships.
Sure.
Oh my gosh.
I think it's huge.
Yes.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a great topic? You want to do that someday?
And we could just start with like Jersey Shore, which I've seen 5 minutes of how that show shows young people how not to do relationships very well.
Yeah. It's so funny. You want to hear something crazy real quick?
Yes.
So when I teach people, they're silent and awe, and it's the funniest thing because I'm still a young woman. I have not had a television in my house for 3.5 years now.
Ooh,
right.
Wow.
Crazy.
No, that's sort of cool,
nuts.
Though.
I think it's cool.
Yeah.
People look at me like I'm an alien from Mars. But,
yeah. But look at all the opportunity you have to, to do things undistracted.
Yes.
No temptation. And even if I suspect even if you had a TV in your house, you wouldn't be tempted.
No.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a sugar addiction.
It is.
It is.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
I don't watch much TV. I do watch sports because I have sports programming,
I thought I wasn't addicted to TV until we moved out of our house in Pennsylvania to come out here, and there was a point in time where we didn't have a TV around in the living. Well, we didn't have a living room there for a while when it was under construction. So I was like, I don't need a TV. I don't need a TV. And I remember going to Joe and I was like, I was wrong. I need a TV just a little bit. But now I'm finding out those shows are online. Yeah. I can just pull up HGTV while I'm working.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
But I do have one question, though. Do you like movies?
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah. So the TV is one thing, but going to a movie is different.
That's an experience.
I like that. Yes.
Because I'm the same way.
Me
I love
too.
Going. How about you guys?
Yeah.
I love going to the movies.
Well, I'm in it for the popcorn. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did that.
And the movie.
Harkins.
Yes.
Oh, you really? You bring your little T-shirt and the cups and you're all set.
Movies are. I took one of the most valuable courses I ever took in college was cinema.
Mm. Oh, did you?
To really understand what goes into a movie is an education.
And we can never watch movies the same way again.
That's right. That's true. And you won't.
No.
Once you see what goes into it and what the symbolism is in a movie and how they manipulate the way you're thinking, you can't watch a movie the same way again.
Wow.
We could talk about that on another show about how it affects relationships
and
how when you're married to somebody who's taken a cinematography course, you're not allowed to just watch the movie.
You can't,
We'll get you on our entertainment, the magazine show on Thursday.
There you go.
I think that's a great idea. Very cool. Passion. Okay, so back to Lori's.
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's see. So, Maya, we're going to just ask you to tell people if they want to get in touch with you. We're not at the end of the show yet, but let's just give them a little dip into where's your website? How do they find you?
Cool. Well, I know that everyone that's listening, women and men alike, I know that you don't know me from probably Adam. So if you head to www.mayanara.com, and it's M-A-Y-A, N as in Nancy, A-H-R-A, it's mayanara.com. And I have, enter your name and email right there. I have an 82 real food snack list, and you're also going to get a 3 series of videos just so you can gain some more information really for you on, I talk about the misstep in every diet, how to define your best diet, and then this is a fun one, how to eat anything you want and not gain a pound.
Wow, really?
Good trick.
So, and to go to mayanara.com, enter your name and email. Just get to know me and get information for yourself, and you'll be directed to where to go next and what you need.
And that includes pizza?
It can include pizza. I eat pizza.
You had me at pizza.
You had me at pizza.
Wow. I love pizza, but I know, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of calories.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm going to check that out. How to eat anything you want and not gain a pound.
Exactly.
That is fantastic. Now, so the name of your company is My Intentful Life.
My Intentful Life.
That is so cool. How did you come up with that name?
Oh, man. It was probably just inspiration. my intentful life. It definitely came out of my own journey. But I think Joe mentioned a keyword awareness, and very quickly, I think really I what happens in my intentful life is not only do we introduce awareness, but we introduce intentfulness, because it's a made up word. But the thing is, with intentfulness, you're not just aware of what you're putting into your mouth, but with intentfulness, you're aware of what you're putting into your mouth, but it's also in accordance and in alignment with what you want and why you want it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That is fantastic.
So many people wander through life in reaction to everything that's going on around them.
Yeah.
If you go into life with an intention,
yeah,
and live an intentful life,
mm-hmm,
you get so much more out of it.
Oh, mm-hmm, so true. It's, mm-hmm, more fun.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that I've learned from Maya is, as an entrepreneur, she's got some amazingly cool stuff out there, and she's probably about, oh, I don't know, 6 to 9 to maybe even 12 months ahead of us on the entrepreneurial path,
yeah, spectrum,
and not a technophobe like people who are sitting at these microphones are, and so we learn a lot from her. So when people work with you, you've got a lot of cool videos out there. Mm-hmm. You've got a video series. Tell us about some of the ways you decide to package things up so people have access to you in different ways.
Sure. You know what? You got 3 options as of right now. I have plenty of really cool options too. But number one, everybody wants to learn how – they always want to eat healthier, but they don't want to create the healthy convenience. It's all about meal planning. Basic stuff, we just need to know it, because the problem is, if you're hungry and it's not there, what are you going to eat?
Mm-hmm.
So My Weekly Fig, it's like the fig, it's a fruit like they grow, myweeklyfig.com. It's just a meal planning service. It's entirely email-based. You get meal planning recipes, videos with me teaching you how to do it. It's very, very inexpensive. So you can check that out. Then there's a whole this, my heart and soul and a lot of me was into this too. It took me a summer to put together and a lifetime to learn, is called 10 Weeks, a Holistic Nutrition Course. So at mayanara.com, you can find that there. It just goes through everything from proteins, fats, and carbohydrates to intentful eating, to finding your best support partner, to resilience, to the 5 behavioral steps that you have to ask before starting any diet. That is a whole 120-page workbook, downloadable DVDs. You can get it digitally or the hard copy. So that is 10 Weeks. That's on my website too. And the last one I'll tell you about is just personal consultations. A lot of people want that one-on-one accountability. Call me every week. I want to see you every week. What's going on? What do we need to work on? They want that personal one-on-one, so that's available too.
And that's, mm-hmm, what you do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So would you consider a coach or your partner with people?
Oh, you know what? I consider myself a cheerleader.
Oh, that's even better.
A cheerleader, because really, I just help people in all of my clients, and this is all that I've learned, essentially, is just, I just help show you what you really have inside of you that you didn't see there before. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to cheerlead it out.
So it's, mm-hmm, really not as much about food.
No.
Is like you started with the show. No. It's about finding your essence and really getting,
yeah,
peeling back the layers and layers of resistance and,
yeah,
obstacles that are self-imposed.
You know, true, yes. And I've never said this before, but I feel called to say it right now. And it's not about food, but food has such a grip hold. When I was going through my stuff, and I was a night eater, and I've never said it before, but I was stealing my roommate's food, and I was, yeah, overeating, and I was ashamed. But it has such a grip hold over,
yeah,
the mind that it overtakes your entire being, and you don't know how to get it out. So, yes, it's a bigger than food, but when you're in that moment, that's all you think about.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah, that's maybe the true sense of an addiction, I suspect.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Mm. But, you know, one thing, I'm just, looking at Maya, and she says about, you know, she's had this experience, you know, 10 years in corporate, and I'm thinking, like, she looks like 22 Ooh. Years old.
Yeah. Yeah, I there look is 12 that. And feel 42.
Yeah. Are you that?
No, I'm
oh.
not.
No, I didn't think so, but you look so young.
I am not. Yes, I'm approaching 30.
Wow.
Yeah.
You look light years ahead of your age, and I think because...
I feel it.
But I think you have an old soul.
I think I've been here before.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you look like 10 years younger than you really are, and that's a credit to you, and I think that's the holistic approach where people...
Yeah.
You know, you see people when they're under stress, They look much older, and then when they're peaceful and calm like you, you look like much younger.
You know, that's so true, because clients come, they look younger when they're done with me before when they started with me. They look older when they start and younger when they come out.
Mm-hmm. Don't you believe in that, Joe? That saying that you often isn't that?
And I'm going to repeat
you're going to repeat that.
There's a line
in later.
There's a song by Bob Dylan, and it's called "My Back Pages." And the line that runs through it is that, "Ah, but I was so much older then. I'm younger than that now."
Yeah.
And you're going to be 300, you said. So I can't wait to see what you're going to look like when you're 300.
Well, I'm hoping that at some point they're going to perfect rejuvenation, and I'm going to just make it. And I'm going to rejuvenate back to 20, and I'm going to...
Well, according to Deepak Chopra, there is a book on that, How to Grow Younger. Have you seen that book?
Yep, I've seen it, but I've read it.
Very interesting book.
If you would see pictures of Joe when I met him, and we got married back in 2001, 2002...
Right. If you looked at me in year 2000 and looked at me now, I heard it every day. Do you have a pact with the devil? You look 10 years younger.
He does.
And I do.
You have a pact with the devil?
He did.
Oh, you look 10 years younger.
Yes.
Okay.
I look 10 years younger. But it was a matter of changing everything that I did.
That is very cool.
There wasn't a piece of my life that I didn't change.
Mm-hmm. And guess what? Guess what now is?
What's now?
Joe's monthly rant. A cup of Joe.
We wait for this every month.
Let's hear a cup of Joe.
Okay, well, going down that line, this week's rant is called Time, Companion or Predator. Is time your friend or is it a foe? Do you battle with it every day trying to jam as much into it as possible? Or do you see it as a gentle friend that grants you the ability to do those things that make you happy? I got thinking about this the other day when I was watching a Star Trek movie where the villain was Saren, and he said that time is a predator because it stalks you your whole life until finally it says, time's up, then it's over. Star Trek Captain Picard likens it to a companion that accompanies you on your life's journey. If you've read my past blogs, you know that I've been obsessed with time to the point that, I've made a sizable investment in clocks. I attribute this to seeing too many people's lives cut short to my way of thinking. That and I demand to live at least 300 years. Yes, I can hear you now. It's good luck with that. Well, I'm still holding out for rejuvenation. Time is an odd commodity. Much like air, you take it for granted until it's all used up. Then you'd wish you had more. You can see the time you have on Earth as being on a parole from an impending death sentence, or you can see it as a wonderful gift granted to you to live any way you wish. For the longest time, I viewed time in that negative sense, rushing around, fretting about lost seconds, wishing I had done this or done that in a different way. I have come to the point in my life where I realize that it's all good. All the mistakes in my life, all the missed opportunities that are just part of living. The hard times and the good times are what life is made of. I only wish that I had been able to see time, my life, in this way much earlier. Well, I had glimpses of this in my 20s, but life got in the way and I misplaced that lesson. So now I firmly believe there are no mistakes in life, only lessons. I believe in stopping and smelling the roses at every opportunity. I believe that love really is the answer, and that if you don't believe that, you don't understand the question. Whenever I start to wander from that way of thinking, I stop and remember Bob Dylan, what he had said so many years ago. Ah, but I was so much older then. I'm younger than that now. If time is your friend, make it an intimate lover. If time is your foe, it's high time you invited that demon into your heart and embraced it.
Nicely done. Wow, yes. You are so good at this.
I try.
No. Lori, isn't that phenomenal?
Yeah, and he writes at least a blog a week.
I try.
And as best you can.
As best I can.
And it's on livingthedreamcoaches.com, and you can find both blogs. Joe is a little more frequent, and I'm a little less frequent. And yours is Cup of Joe, and mine's Lori on Life, LOL.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Hey, that's sort of cool.
Yeah.
You guys are the perfect couple.
They really are, aren't they?
They're amazing.
Yeah. Totally
yeah.
agree.
What are you going to do?
We are just one person, you know.
That's what people keep telling us lately.
Regardless of what you see,
yeah.
We're really just one person.
You define what a honeymoon should be.
Yeah.
mm-hmm.
Reality with essence.
Yeah.
You still haven't sold me on the 300-year thing yet, though.
Well, that means I only have to live 294.
You know what?
Yeah, what?
I've actually heard say that you know, the futurists say that the person who will live 300 to 400 years has already been born.
Ooh.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Who said that?
One of the futurists, scientific brains.
Oh, yeah. I talked to that person. They called in the other day. And they said, do you have a guy named Joe on the second Monday of the month from 2 to 3?
As a matter of fact, yes.
And I said,
yes.
You need
to make an appointment with me. Right?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's good.
Will we be on the radio for 300 years?
No. We'll have mind control by then.
Oh.
Okay.
You'll just tune it in right here.
I bet that's what's going to happen.
Joe is ever the scientist. He's always got his head around that. Every time something comes up on Facebook that's got this scientific stuff, I tag the entire family because it's just a whole family of scientific minds that like to find humor in that kind of stuff.
You know, we're a lot farther on in science than people care to admit.
I would agree.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Maya,
yes.
There's so many people you can help, and especially in, mm-hmm. well, in the United States. Well, let's just take Phoenix. But what's interesting, you say you help people all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
Do you travel or you do it on via like Skype or telephone?
Skype and telephone.
That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's I have clients turn in friends so often, but, you know, we talk and we never have met before.
Yeah,
that is so cool.
That's very cool. Connections don't necessarily have to be in person.
That seems to be the way of the world these days. We have Skyped with the Philippines and Australia and,
cool.
you know, all over the world. It's interesting getting the time zone thing.
I love it.
But people that, even in October, we went to an event in L.A., and it was the first time we'd met our branding coach and the first time we met our virtual assistant in person.
Hmm.
So you have these relationships, and they're over Skype or mostly over the phone.
Yeah.
And you don't even know what the person looks like necessarily unless it's part of their brand. And there you are. Finally, you meet.
Wow.
Or you don't.
The world is a smaller place.
It is.
True.
In a good way.
Which allows us to help so many more people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the nice thing. Let's go over your contact information one more time. How do they get in touch with you?
You know what? Head to www.mayanahra.com. It's M-A-Y-A. N as in Nancy, A-H-R-A, MayaNahra.com. And I will mention early next year, there's a live digital magazine coming for your iPad and iPhone called Hello Beautiful. And I need you. I want you. I have openings for tweets and real stories, raw stories. I need women's stories. I need inspirational material and content. So if that's you, if you have something to share, please go to MayaNahra.com. Just enter your name and email for the mailing list, and you'll get more information.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you so much. It's really been a pleasure having you on the show today.
I'm grateful and honored. Thank you.
I'm glad you came. That's awesome.
And Lori and Joe, how do they get in touch with you?
Okay. For us, you get in touch with us at livingthedreamcoaches.com. You can always email us at coaches, C-O-A-C-H-E-S, at livingthedreamcoaches.com, or you can give us a call at 888-505-5762, and we will either pick up that phone right away or get right back to you.
Right back.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, this has been such a great and a fast hour. We're going to have to do this again because there is so much to learn from each one of you, actually. Mm-hmm. I want to learn how to live to 300.
Yes.
I'm going to ask Joe that question. But you only said 100, so what are you going to do with 200 years on your hands?
Yeah, you know, he used to...
She's going with me.
All 300.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I only have to live to be 294 if we want to go out at the same time.
That's
so
you better have a maid.
Yeah.
Well, again, Maya and Nahra, thank you so much for coming
in.
And Lori and Joe, we'll see you next month.
This is great.
And happy holidays to everybody.
Happy holidays.
That's right, December. And remember, look for your inner essence. There's a lot of food in these holidays, but you can still have fun. Stay tuned for Understanding Autism coming right up at 3.
Arizona station, 1010 KXXT, Tolleson, Phoenix.
At Beerenbaum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762, or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Hopefully, you'll never have to experience a disaster such as a fire or a flood striking your home or business. But if you do, know there's someone out there who can quickly help you get life back to normal. That someone is ServiceMaster by Disaster Professionals. Just call 602-431-2222, and our professionals will be there to lend a hand. You can be confident knowing ServiceMaster Clean has over 50 years of experience restoring damaged homes and businesses after frightening events such as fires, floods, vandalisms, and other disasters. We can offer services such as emergency cleaning, smoke, soot, and odor removal, in addition to water and fire damage repair. Our solid reputation is the reason insurance companies nationwide know ServiceMaster Clean will get the job done quickly and professionally. Plus, we guarantee to do the work right the first time, or we'll do it over with no questions asked. That's ServiceMaster Clean. We're the company that's first to respond to your call, first to arrive on the scene, and first to guarantee relief. Because delays and hassles are the last thing you need. Remember, 602-431-2222 for ServiceMaster Clean by Disaster Professionals. And get the clean you expect and the service you deserve.